The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm the announcer, Todd Wilkerson.
And what in the world?
I just noticed that my toenails are way overdue for a good clipping.
Holy Toledo! My feet look like dragon's claws.
How did it get to this point?
Maybe the vet can do something for me.
Wow, it's just nasty. Yeah, and now your host, Eric Metaxas.
Oh my God, that's so horrible. That is so bad. Todd is nasty. He is nasty. Can we turn that music down? I'd like to talk. It's a talk show. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Oh, Albin, I hate to tell you how to live, but put out that cigarette, please. Please. I can't hear you. Your microphone seems low.
Yeah, well.
It might be the smoke.
I'm going to talk a little closer to the mic.
Is it my earphones? I don't know. You sound low. Anyway, look. We got a lot to cover here. Is his level okay? I just want to make sure because the audience.
Yes, I know.
Well, oh, there we go.
This is a little better.
There we go. Can we blame James? Blame James on that?
Now I can sing Sinatra.
I need somebody to blame.
Okay. I did it my way.
Technically, that's not Sinatra.
Okay, can we turn me down again?
Okay, so here's the story.
Okay.
Today, as far as I know, today's Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in hour one today, if you missed it, oh my gosh, go back. Michelle Comey, not as in Pinko Comey, as in Michelle Comey, spelled totally different. It's K-A-M-H-I. K-A-M-H-I. Michelle Comey. She has written some books on art. And I always, whenever we have somebody like that, I always want to, in the next hour, say, if you missed that, go back. You need to hear hour one today because it was particularly good. However, in hour two today, this is hour two, in a couple of minutes, you're going to be hearing part two of my conversation with Brian Keating. He's a scientific genius who wrote a book called Losing the Nobel Prize. And who hasn't lost the Nobel Prize at one time or another in his life?
Sure.
We've all lost the Nobel Prize. It's a common thing.
It's what you do.
But he has written about the experience, and I think we can all relate to what it would be to miss the Nobel Prize by a micrometer.
That close.
Right? By a femtometer. Like, I just stinking missed the Nobel. And Alfred Nobel is weeping over his pile of dynamite in heaven. It's just sad. It's very sad. And I think that when you have Brian Keating talking about it, we can all relate to what it is, because I remember when I lost the Nobel Prize, like pretty much every year, it stings a little bit. Mm. It's kind of a stingy feeling. Yeah. And he has really captured what it is to be so close and whatever. So it's a fun scientific conversation because he is a brilliant scientist. He's also a man of faith. I think it's very important to me always to make it clear that faith and science are not only not mutually exclusive, but they actually bolster each other. Mm-hmm. If you have any sense of what science really is and what biblical faith is, you know that they bolster each other. Anybody who doesn't understand that really doesn't understand either science or faith. And that's one of the reasons I have genius scientists like Brian Keating on.
Yeah.
So that's what's happening. Now, Albin, you realize what tomorrow is?
The July 4th? On the calendar.
Yes. Did you just guess and happen to get it right, or did you know? Be honest. It's an honor system. Did you know, or did you just guess?
A little bit of both, I think.
See, it sounds like you're just blowing smoke all the time. Even that was like a smoke blowing answer. Well, did you know that tomorrow was July 4th?
Well, or,
I think you don't know. I think the truth is not in you, so I'm just going to move on.
No, I'm not one of these Nobel Prize geniuses, let's put it that way.
Well, okay. Let me just say. Okay. That tomorrow is July 4th. So you're right. Tomorrow is July 4th. And there's something about July 4th that it's like my favorite holiday. Tomorrow we're going to air Yankee Doodle Muggsy, yes. which is a book that I wrote. A lot of people say, like, oh, I know all your books. No, you don't. Have you read Yankee Doodle Muggsy? It's and by the way, it's a kid's book, but like a lot of stuff that I do, it's not for kids. It's for everybody. Mm-hmm. When you read it, it's sort of a sophisticated British-style verse.
Yeah.
And
it's Nobel Prize quality, I think. Or it was.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's no question. I mean, there's some people who've won the Nobel Prize for Literature who could never write something like, you know, they just can't. And but you know what? That's their problem. I'm not going to dwell on it. So Yankee Doodle Muggsy is a children's book that I wrote with Tim Raglan. And tomorrow, to celebrate the 4th, I'm going to be reading it aloud on this program. And we've got music in the background. We've got all kinds of stuff. It's so festive that you should really be out on a great lawn someplace listening to it. Maybe have a picnic, have a blanket, and you can have wine and cheese mm-hmm. and listen to it. Mm-hmm. So that's tomorrow. And tomorrow I mentioned Michelle Kami. We've got part two with Michelle tomorrow. We're going to play that after Uncle Muggsy. But so that's tomorrow. But since tomorrow is July 4th, it also makes me think of the roots of our freedom. And the roots of our freedom right now, you know, with the Supreme Court nominee coming up, people need to understand how our system functions, which is one of the reasons that we have allowed Hillsdale College to be a sponsor on this program, because they are at the forefront. I love them. They are doing amazing work for this country. First of all, they're not taking any tax dollars from us. Now, that's pretty rare. Almost every college in America, every university takes money from the federal government. Now, don't you wonder why?
I'm aghast. Why?
I mean, it's bizarre. Why should the taxpayers be subsidizing colleges?
Why?
I don't know. But they're not subsidizing Hillsdale. So Hillsdale, thank you, Hillsdale. But Hillsdale is able to do what it wants, which is to say it's able to teach the fundamentals of the Constitution. And at this time, with a Supreme Court hanging in the balance, people are arguing about Roe v. Wade and all this different stuff. Folks, if you understand the Constitution, you're going to understand that having judges who do not impose their biases is the only kind of judges that America should ever have. That's so we have true. Had judges that have tried to impose their views upon the Constitution and the American people. That's not only unconstitutional, it's un-American. It is fundamentally wrong. Right. It is a usurpation of powers. And we ought to take that seriously. Now, if you want to understand that, you could take a course on the Constitution provided by Hillsdale. Yes. Go to MetaxasForHillsdale.com, MetaxasForHillsdale.com, and you can sign up for a free course. It's Larry Arn and other professors at Hillsdale. I recommend it very highly because I actually feel part of my mission in life is to help Americans get excited about the what it is to be an American, to understand. Right. And I say to those who are listening in foreign countries, this form of government, I would argue, is intended by God for everyone. Freedom is intended for everyone, but it's very fragile and it's very difficult. Everyone has to has to participate in it.
We want to get back to the foundation, not fundamentally transform America, but get back to the foundation.
Well, right. But in order to get to the foundations, on some level, it means we're transforming the America that has been transformed. That's the difficult thing to understand, that the country has drifted away, and not only drifted away, but I think it's been kicked in that direction mm-hmm. by previous presidents. I would never mention them by name because what if Obama's listening?
Whoa!
No, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I'm saying there are people that have had a view of America that I would argue, and I'm not kidding, it's un-American. And so when people talk about this, they say it's this political battle. I would actually say, you know what? It ought not to be a political battle. Everybody ought to agree that the Constitution is the Constitution, and to adjudicate the laws of this country does not mean trying to figure out how to get around the Constitution or how to find something in the Constitution that's not there, but simply to read and understand the Constitution. So when the judges found a right to abortion in Roe v. Wade in 1973, guess what? There is no right to abortion, and they twisted the meaning of the Constitution. Therefore, it doesn't mean that you have to be pro-life as I am, but it means you have to understand that what they did was was nakedly political. Mm-hmm. It was a grab for power. And it's unconstitutional. Now, you got to understand that's wrong. That it should be in the hands of the states, right, not the hands of the justices. So go to MetaxasForHillsdale.com. And when we come back, folks, you better buckle your seatbelts. It's going to get crazy up in here. Imagine a politician saying this today. I have wondered at times what the Ten Commandments would have looked like if Moses had run them through the U.S. Congress. That is a quote from Ronald Reagan. He showed us through his life, his faith, and with his words that Judeo-Christian values and principles matter. You can help spread the legacy of Ronald Reagan, and you can do it by getting a Reagan email address. Right now, if you have a Gmail, AOL, Yahoo, or other big tech company email address, you help them market their service with every email you send. In return, they scan your emails and target you with unwanted advertising. Well, thanks to our sponsor, ReaganPrivacy.com, you can instead share the Reagan name with every email you send, and they won't scan your emails. They'll leave you alone. Get an email address you'll be proud to own at ReaganPrivacy.com. Your very own personal private email address is available to you at ReaganPrivacy.com. Get your Reagan email address right now at ReaganPrivacy.com.
Mr. Rogers?
Yeah.
I like you.
I like you, my dear.
America is falling in love with Mr. Rogers again. Entertainment Weekly raves. It's the movie we need right now.
Fred's theology was love your neighbor and love yourself. It was a communication right into their hearts.
Mr. Rogers' faith has inspired us all.
Thank you for whatever you do to bring joy and faith to our world today.
Please. Won't you be my neighbor? Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. Now in theaters everywhere.
Protecting data across modern decentralized networks presents challenges that traditional backup solutions can't handle. At best, you'll waste time and money managing multiple solutions. At worst, gaps in coverage will leave your data vulnerable. Barracuda Backup is a single cloud-integrated solution that simplifies the backup process and allows data replication to anywhere on your network, a private cloud, Barracuda's cloud, or to the AWS public cloud. Reclaim your data. Try Barracuda Backup free at barracuda.com/backup.
Folks, on May 18th, Mike Lindell and MyPillow set a world record for the largest pillow fight in history. Thousands of people participated at the Pulse event in Minnesota. The event was dedicated to giving hope to those who've been hurting or those who have lost hope. Mike Lindell used his story of being a drug addict, finding his way, and then becoming a successful businessman to encourage others to redirect their lives and bring Christian values to it. To see the world's biggest pillow fight ever, go to MyPillow.com. The event was a huge success. Mike wants everybody to share in the excitement. And by the way, for a limited time, MyPillow is offering the standard MyPillow for the lowest price ever. Go to MyPillow.com and put in, here's the key, folks, MyPillow.com, put in the promo code Eric or Metaxas, MyPillow.com, or you could call 800-978-3057, 800-978-3057, or go to MyPillow.com, promo code Eric or Metaxas. But again, the phone number, you got to put in Eric or Metaxas to get the discount, MyPillow.com.
The way you get your medicine prescriptions is now changing across America. GoGoMeds.com can deliver your medicine right to your door. Here's all you need to do. Your doctor gives you the prescription. You go online to GoGoMeds.com, put in your information, and make sure to include the promo code MIKE2018 to save $10 off your first prescription. Your meds are then delivered to your home, and you've saved money. It's that easy. No more waiting, no lines, no copay each month, and best of all, no wandering around the store aimlessly waiting for your prescription to be filled. GoGoMeds.com, the new way to get your medicine delivered right to your door. Remember that getting your prescription filled now means never having to go to a store again. GoGoMeds.com. GoGoMeds.com. Use the promo code MIKE2018 to save $10 off your first prescription. That's GoGoMeds.com, promo code MIKE2018.
Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon? Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon?
We float among the stars together, you and I.
Oh, we can fly.
flying. I have to say, I've never been in the basket of a balloon. I've never been in a balloon. I've never been to the South Pole. What have I been doing with my life? I'm talking to Brian Keating. He wrote a book called Losing the Nobel Prize. Almost won the Nobel Prize, has written a book about it. He's been to the South Pole. Why don't we start there? Brian Keating, first of all, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Eric. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Well, in our previous show, we were talking about so many things. I want to just continue the conversation. You have been to the South Pole, and on the most mundane level, I'm just curious, apart from the, you know, scientific and cosmological manifestation, ramifications of what you discovered, I'm interested in the idea that you had to go to the South Pole. Is that because the atmosphere is thinner and we can see better through telescopes?
Yeah, exactly. So what happens in your kitchen? You have a microwave oscillator system, which you call your microwave oven. That oven works by heating up water molecules and agitating them so much that they turn into this roiling, boiling broth. But you've noticed if you've heated up a cup of coffee in your microwave, you can heat the coffee up, forget about it, leave it in there for 20 minutes. The water will be superheated. Please, listeners, do not do this. Do not say an astrophysicist told you to do this. This is, you know, purely a metaphor or an example. But if you do that, you can hold the ceramic coffee cup because it is bone dry, literally. There's no water molecules inside the ceramic, even though the coffee is obviously mostly water. So water absorbs microwaves very efficiently. Most of the heat, most of the light in the entire universe, once you get a little bit away from where our sun is or other stars are, if you go into deep intergalactic space, if you're able to do that, you would you would then be inundated by very low energy photons from the Big Bang that are called microwave photons. And these microwave photons, if they propagate through the Earth's atmosphere, there's a very high chance that one of them will just excite a water molecule and get absorbed in that water molecule, never make it down to our telescope. So the best place to put our telescope would be in space, but a spacecraft telescope costs about 100 to 200 times more than a ground-based telescope.
Okay, there's only one that I know of is the Hubble telescope.
Yeah, there's one. There's a Hubble telescope. There's a couple that have been launched in my field of microwave cosmology. And so we took it to a poor scientist version, if you will, of the space-like surroundings. And that was at the South Pole. The South Pole is really cold.
So obviously, not just Antarctica, literally the South Pole.
Yeah, the very bottom of the world. We were on the axis on which the Earth is turning. And so that made it very keen for me, you know, who's never been a very good runner, to be able to run around the entire world in under a minute. That was pretty cool.
Pretty impressive. Very, very impressive.
So it's not only very cold there, as you know, it's very dry, it's very high, and it's a perfect perch to build a telescope because nothing except for the sun and moon and planets ever rises or sets. And there's only one sunrise and sunset per year. So the sun just went down. We're recording this in April, in May, and the sun went down at the end of March, and it won't rise again until the end of September. And so we pay a scientist to spend, you know, almost a year of his or her life down there observing with this telescope. And we always get them to do that by saying, look, we'll pay you $75,000 plus benefits. It's tax-free because you're not earning it on U.S. soil. And you only have to work for one night. And so a lot of them take that. Not too many do it the second time. No, we actually have a lot of repeat customers.
God.
So that's why we took it to the South Pole. We couldn't afford to build it in space. And it was, you know, very close second in terms of astronomical observing condition
quality. But you yourself have been to the South Pole.
Yes, and twice. It's been about a month and a half. Mm-hmm.
Here's my question. I have many questions. The South mm-hmm. Pole itself, it's about as close to outer space as you can get without leaving this planet.
Yeah, it's actually almost like being on another planet.
Right.
It's an entirely frozen ice world like that planet Hoth in Star Wars. And you have crazy characters that are down there just like that. There's no animals. There's no penguins.
I was going to say, there's no life. Where's the life?
There's no life. Well, that's so interesting because many people risk their life to get there. And this is kind of a good metaphor for what scientists do as well. We strive and we seek and we want to be there first. We want to claim credit. We want to get priority. We want to be seen as the first person to put the flag there. And it really, the South Pole wasn't reached until just barely 100 years ago, 1911, yeah. 1912. And so I was there, you know, on the you know, less than 100 years after the South Pole had first been visited by human beings. So it is an otherworldly planet. Picture going out into the middle of the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean and then instantly flash freezing it. So you'd have just waves of ice and you'd be surrounded by waves of ice in all directions, completely flat. And that's what that looks like at the South Pole.
Well, the vastness of it is what frightens me. In other words, it's so vast. It's not like an island. It's a continent, a dead continent. It really is frightening that it exists and we can get to it. But you've been there. When you go there, is there any danger in traveling there?
Not anymore. No, thankfully, the only danger is when, you know, you get tempted to jump out of the C-130 cargo plane that takes you down there because you've been on it for 13 hours and they're headed back to New Zealand where we took off from. Mm. So actually, the danger is minimal. It's actually only the United States is the owner, if you will, of the South Pole. And the reason for that is really, really heartening to me as a scientist. The only reason that we own the South Pole is because we do scientific research there. You can't go there. You can't put up a big oil rig or, you know, some money-making mining operations. There's probably a lot of resources under the ice. 10,000 feet of ice, if you could imagine that, all the way down to the continental shelf.
Two miles straight down of ice.
Yes, it's otherworldly. You just can't imagine until you see it, and then you want to not see it ever again.
Well, so was this your idea then to put the telescope down there?
It was sort of an idea and a dream mixed into one, but it was also sort of a nightmare because I had read foolishly all the books of the previous explorers that lost their lives trying to reach this prize at the bottom of the world. But I realized in order to get to, you know, Stockholm to collect my Nobel Prize, I first had to go to the South Pole because this was really the preeminent place on Earth's surface to do astronomy. And it remains so to this very day.
I thought you were going to say because that's the only place Delta had a hub.
I had my frequent flyer miles kicked in, and the President's Club is so nice down there. The military is our airline down to the South Pole, thankfully.
So you get in a cargo plane, you go to the South Pole, 13 hours from New Zealand.
Yeah, so you stop about 11 hours into the flight, you land on the coast of Antarctica, and there you will see penguins, and you'll see sea lions, and you'll see life, and you'll see mountains and volcanoes that are active. But then you take another flight for about 3 or 4 hours, and that takes you to the very bullseye at the bottom of the world, the South Pole. And you get out there, and right now there's 48 people that are living there. So right now is the winter, as I said. They're sealed off from all external activity, because if you took a plane, if you tried to land that military cargo plane in the middle of winter, the diesel fuel, the jet fuel inside the plane would expand and crack and destroy this $50 million aircraft. And you can imagine the government's reluctant to do that.
We can't
design drop off mail.
We can't design a plane that warms the fuel. I mean, that's got to be possible.
Well, it is, but, you know, maybe that'll win a Nobel Prize. No, they actually can do it. It's very technically difficult because they have to keep the engines running and then getting passengers on board. You're landing in complete darkness, though, in the middle of the night, which with no runway. There's no runway. It's just a sheet of ice that they plow over, and they can't really do that in the middle of winter because it's too – I mean, it gets down to 100 below zero Fahrenheit. So there's a tradition there in the middle of winter on June 24th that there's a hot tub and a sauna at the South Pole, if you can believe that. I won't tell you, you know, why it's there, but it's there, and you can get in the sauna. They heat it up to 200 degrees above zero Fahrenheit, and then you go outside and you run around the South Pole. I've never done this. Okay, I'm not that
crazy.
Wait
a minute, 200? That's just
almost
boiling. But a human being can't go in that.
Barely, yes, you can.
You're
kidding. You can go in for about a second or two. You get covered in sweat, and then you run around outside. So your body experiences a 300-degree temperature drop, and it's called the 300-degree club. And you run around, and you have to do this naked, by the way. So, you know, those that are modest should not partake in this. And when you do that, because if you wore clothes, you'd instantly get frostbitten on places that, let's say, we'd rather not get frostbitten.
Ow.
You have to do it naked. Your body protects you with a sheet of ice, a frozen sweat, and you run around, and you come right back in, and many of my friends have done it.
That's just incredible. Talk about being really, really, really bored and having to come up with something like, hey, I got an idea. Okay, so we're talking about your book, Losing the Nobel Prize. I want to come back and talk about that experience because you talk in the book about the prize itself. We've just got about 45 seconds here, but tell us about this. You did research on what is this thing called the Nobel Prize?
Yeah. So what happened is in 2014, the central kind of narrative of the book is how we came to announce the discovery of this spark that ignited the Big Bang that we spoke about previously, which would have led to an unequivocal kind of piece of evidence, if you will, for the multiverse. So we talked about that already. But when that happened, we were instantly nominated or bandied about as being eligible to win the Nobel Prize and, in fact, being a lock, a shoo-in by the world's most eminent scientist. And, of course, we later had to retract our discovery. And done. We didn't make a blunder. We didn't leave the lens cap on the camera, you know, as you might do or somebody might do, and taking a picture of the family. We did something spectacular, which is that we made a measurement, which has still stood the test of time. But our interpretation was driven in part by this desire to reveal the universe's first moments and concomitantly win a Nobel Prize. And I think that phenomena of being biased by wanting to see what may or may not be there still afflicts science.
Okay, we're going to be back, folks, talking to the author of Losing the Nobel Prize, Brian Keating. Stick around.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Fire your stockbroker and hire yourself. I'm Scott Bauer, and I've been a professional trader for over 25 years. I've traded for Goldman Sachs and was the first Amazon market maker at the Chicago Board Options Exchange. I'm also the CEO here at Prosper Trading Academy, the leading educational firm teaching people how to trade the markets. For a limited time, I'm giving away one of my favorite secret trading techniques used by thousands of our students every day to help build their financial future. To learn this technique right now, call my 24/7 voicemail and just leave your email address. I'll email you my free trading technique right away. Just call 1-800-228-2155. This is the very information my students use every day to invest in their financial future. Again, call 1-800-228-2155 in the next 30 minutes and leave your email address on my voicemail. That's 1-800-228-2155. Call 1-800-228-2155.
Hi, this is Rhett Rasmussen of BestHotGrill.com. Not only do we have great grills, but also the best hot patio heaters. We are the nationwide distributor for Bromic Radiant Patio Heaters, the very best patio heater that you can get. The Bromic heaters use the same radiant burner technology as our Solaire infrared grills, so they heat up fast and keep you warm so you can enjoy your backyard grill and outdoor living spaces into the night and all year round. Bromic heaters have stylish contemporary designs that fit perfectly in backyard and restaurant patios. We have gas and electric models to suit most installation needs and a portable gas heater that directs the heat where you want it, not the bushes and walls like the mushroom heaters. For top quality performance and aesthetics, you want Bromic Radiant Patio Heaters and Solaire Infrared Grills. Learn about these amazing grills and heaters at BestHotGrill.com. That's BestHotGrill.com, BestHotGrill.com.
Delta Dawn, what's that flower you have on? Could it be a faded rose from days gone by? And did I hear you say he was a-meeting you here today to take you to his mansion in the sky?
She's 41 and her daddy still calls her baby.
Hey, folks, it's Eric Metaxas Show. We're talking about the Nobel Prize with the author of a book called Losing the Nobel Prize, a story of cosmology, ambition, and the perils of science's highest honor. So, Brian Keating, you're telling the story of making a measurement at the South Pole, which purports to prove that there was a spark before the Big Bang, which has all kinds of ramifications. You think you're going to win the Nobel Prize. You said that the measurement you made was correct, but the interpretation was incorrect, that you were so zealous for it to say X that you didn't get the you said, OK, mm-hmm. It says X, but it turned out that it didn't say X. So what happened there? What are we talking about? What's the interpretation, if you can explain it to a layman, that was mistaken? Yeah.
So we were looking for a special pattern in this ancient fossil light from the Big Bang, known as the cosmic microwave background radiation. This is heat left over from the Big Bang, which suffuses the universe. And it's the earliest light that could possibly be seen by any kind of telescope. However, there are other forms of what are called radiation or signals and vibrations in space-time called gravitational waves. And these are waves in the ripples in the distance and the strength of gravity that also travel at the speed of light. These were the imprimatur, the signals from the earliest spark of the inflationary epoch that we sought out to see. And this was the raison d'etre of this project, was to go and measure these waves of gravity if they existed. And as I say, you know, throughout history, scientists have gone looking for something and found it. And there's two different ways you can do science. You can do something specifically with a hypothesis in mind and control. controls and tests, and then sometimes you do analyses to test for your biases. But you can also just stumble upon something serendipitously. And those are two forms of scientific discovery that have played out. In our case, it was the former. We were looking for a signal, and we ended up finding it.
Okay, so
signal.
Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm. So you're looking for a signal and you found it?
We're looking for a twisting pattern of light, and that twisting pattern of light would reveal this waves of gravity. However, there are other things that can cause light to twist and to appear twisted in exactly the same way that mimics as an imposter masquerading as the signal from the Big Bang's first moments. And it comes from nothing more humble. There's nothing more humble than the substance that produced the signal, and it was actually grains of interstellar dust. So in our galaxy, in our solar system, there are stars that have exploded and spewed forth all of their material into the neighborhood that surrounds them. And one such star did that in our local part of the universe. And that star exploded and it spread out dust. And some of the dust became tangled up in the Milky Way's as what's called a magnetic field, just as the Earth does, as certain animals do and certain minerals do. Well, some of the Milky Way galaxy's regions are also suffused with magnetic fields. They caused this dust to align and emit exactly the signal that we were looking for. So when we saw it, we thought it was too good to be true. It was too bright. People said we would never see it. And here we were seeing it only a couple of years after we built the telescope at the South Pole. And so we were very nervous about it. And we went out and we tried to test it and see if we could get our competitors to share their data with us that would reveal if we had actually detected the Big Bang's, you know, explosive origin,
right,
or if we had just been a dustbuster, you know, and detected dust in the cosmic wind.
Right.
And it turned out to be the latter, but unfortunately, we were unable to get cooperation. And we thought at the time that this competitor, which was a satellite located about a million miles from Earth, that this satellite was going to scoop us, was going to discover the signal, beat us to the punch, as the Norwegian team had beaten the English team to the South Pole. We were going to get scooped and get scooped out of discovering the most important epoch in cosmic history, and also scooped out of gilded medallions presented by the King of Sweden.
Right. Wow. And not only were you not scooped, but no one has ever found this, mm-hmm, to this day. And
that's right.
I would guess that it's your thesis that it's not findable because it doesn't exist. Where do you stand on this now?
Well, I actually am relatively agnostic about it. But the difference now is that I no longer venerate this prize, this medallion, you know, the Nobel Prize, in the way that I once did. I mean, I'm honest in the book. I'm candid about it. I sought it after it was a form of idolatry, in a sense. And, you know, I used to think that only, you know, kind of people back at, you know, 3,000 years ago worshipped idols. I mean, who could be so foolish nowadays to worship a golden calf? I mean, we know so much in our scientific age and we're so educated. You know, I went to school. I went to 22nd grade, for God's sakes. You know, I mean, I'm very well educated, but I wouldn't worship an idol.
22nd grade. I love that idea.
Yes.
I love that idea.
So,
did you use a lot of paste? Because in second grade,
yes,
we used a lot of paste.
Well, okay, I ate a lot of it.
So you go back and you look. So first of all, what was it like to have the Nobel Prize, as it were, slip through your fingers, to suddenly realize? I mean, how did that happen is my question.
Yeah. So what ended up happening was we found that our data were actually supportive of two equally likely hypotheses, whereas on the original day that we announced the results on St. Patrick's Day of 2014, we announced that we detected the signal. And then we said the odds of us being wrong were about 1 in 30 million. So those are pretty good odds. You know, if you had an odds of winning the lottery, you know, that were, you know, 37 million to one, you'd certainly go into that lottery with all your wealth. Right. But in this case, we ended up having to eventually the competitor that was threatening to scoop us, they released data that said that we were most likely to be wrong, but the only way to find out if we were right or wrong was to do a joint analysis.
Uh-huh.
So we beat our swords into plowshares, collaborated, and we found together that we had been mistaken in our interpretation.
We're going to be right back with more biblical allusions and references as we talk about the beginning of the universe. Losing the Nobel Prize is the book. Stick around.
Where hustle's the name of the game.
Alvin, I always talk about Relief Factor because I take it every single day.
I didn't know about this
until about a year or so ago. I take it. I have a back pain, whatever. And if I don't take it, I know. And it enables me to run.
I can do things that, you know, I wouldn't be able to do.
Yeah,
and
that's great.
If it works for you, it's a life changer. And in most cases, people who try it, it works. So I'm recommending it highly. Here's a clip from somebody for whom it has worked besides me. Here we go.
I'm an artist and I'm in my studio and I've got pain in my neck and it's getting worse. I'm hearing the ads about Relief Factor. And I'm thinking, well, I'm going to go ahead and order this. 2 weeks later and I've got much better range of motion. I'm able to carry these big canvases around and put stuff away and pick stuff up and move it around. Very, very grateful that I gave the product a try. I keep it in my purse. I keep it in my studio.
I always say, I've yelled at my relatives, like, if you don't try this, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you're crazy not to try this because it can change your life. ReliefFactor.com. Check it out. ReliefFactor.com.
I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO of Wesley Financial Group and timeshare cancellation advocate. I was sued by the largest timeshare company in federal court for simply helping people cancel their timeshare that they had been lied to about. The jury sized me up and came back with a verdict after only 20 minutes. And yes, I won.
My husband and I are more than grateful to everyone at Wesley Financial Group. You know, thanks to Chuck and his team, we feel as though a weight has been lifted and we can move on without the worry of a troublesome timeshare.
Whether you owe $10,000 to $250,000 on your timeshare, it's my mission to get you out of your timeshare, eliminate your payments, and get them off your back permanently. And we proudly hold an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau.
Want to learn more about getting rid of your troublesome timeshare? Call Wesley Financial Group now for your free consultation. Call 800-786-9300. That's 800-786-9300. 800-786-9300.
If you were fumbling around in the dark and someone handed you a flashlight, you'd take it, right? Shouldn't it be the same when it comes to spotting threats to your identity and data on your devices? The digital world is full of so many connections, it just takes one weak link for criminals to get in. And you don't want to be left in the dark if that happens. Fortunately, new LifeLock Identity Theft Protection now adds the power of Norton Security to shed light on more of today's threats. Threats to your identity, like your personal info for sale on the dark web, and threats to your computer or tablet, like ransomware or emerging viruses. No one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but new LifeLock with Norton detects a wide range of threats to your identity and devices you may not see on your own. Join now and get an additional 10% off your first year. Go to LifeLock.com and enter promo code SMART. That's promo code SMART. New LifeLock with Norton. More detection, more protection.
July 4th is Independence Day. Be a patriot and break free from Big Mobile's hidden fees, line charges, and complicated pricing, and start celebrating simplicity with Patriot Mobile. Patriot covers switching and installment fees as a contract credit, up to $1,500 per account. But the best part is that a portion of each Patriot's bill contributes vital donations to conservative organizations that fight for our freedom. This month, enjoy a new Motorola E4 or an E4 Plus smartphone for only $4 a month. Save over 40% on a terrific water-resistant phone, perfect for the summer, and help bring about conservative change. Don't wait. This offer is only available while supplies last. Make the switch today. Call 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit PatriotMobile.com. Again, that's 1-800-A-PATRIOT or PatriotMobile.com. Be a patriot and switch today to start making conservative change happen every time you use your cell phone. Patriot Mobile, your new cellular resource for patriotism.
I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. And Jesus came like a stranger.
Says light. He's not talking about photons, folks. It's a whole other thing. We don't have time to get into it right now. I'm talking to Brian Keating. He's written a book called Losing the Nobel Prize, A Story of Cosmology, Ambition, and the Perils of Science's Highest Honor. Now, you make a case in this book, Brian, that the Nobel Prize has, as it were, queered the entire process of science. In other words, there is something here about the zeal that people have, and you're one of them, in going for this prize, particularly here in science, that skews things and that increases people's ambition and their competitive side and actually works against scientific advancement. So tell us about
that. Absolutely right. Yeah. So less than a year after, I was felt the golden Nobel Prize slip through my fingers. I was asked to nominate the winners of the next year's Nobel Prize. So you can imagine that'd be pretty bittersweet, right? So you've got all these best-selling books, and then you get asked to write, a nomination letter for someone else's Pulitzer Prize after you just lost yours or something like that. So it was bittersweet to me. But I decided to treat it as an academic experience. I'm a scholar, I'm an academician. So what did I do? So I went back and consulted with primary source material. And what was that? It was Alfred Nobel's will. So he has a will, it's written in Swedish, and it's actually on the Nobel Prize website. And so I went to it. I'm fluent in Swedish, as we all are. No, I'm not. But they luckily have translated it. And the translation read that Alfred Nobel, he said, being of, sound mind and body, he actually wanted this vast wealth derived from the invention of dynamite to go to those people, the person who had created or invented the most beneficial invention or discovery in the preceding year. And so I thought back, what discovery in astrophysics has ever benefited, mankind as a whole in the preceding year that was discovered by a single person? And I kept scratching my head. I couldn't find out somebody's who had met those three criteria. And so I went back and I thought to myself, well, nowadays, the letter that asked me from the Swedish committee, they asked me to nominate people. They basically said, ignore everything that Alfred said and do it this way, which is our way. And you can nominate three people, and it could be for something done decades ago, and it could be something that the debate, the merits of beneficial, prospects for humanity are minimal. So I thought, so as I told you earlier, I'm a practicing Jew. And in one of our highest mitzvot, the highest good deeds or activities that you can do as a Jew is to respect the wishes of the dead and to actually make sure that they're taken care of after they die, because it's so highly prized because they can never recompense you for doing so, right? Mm-hmm. They're dead. And so you're doing it purely altruistically. What's the converse of that? When somebody asks you to do something specifically after they die and you do the opposite of it. So you want to be buried in a Jewish cemetery and they cremate you and throw you in the ocean. Okay, so that would be an example of it. So I felt like this, they were doing an anti-mitzvah, that they were basically denying the wishes of a dead man. And for what purpose, I wondered. And so I did a lot more investigation and found that indeed there's something rotten in Stockholm.
You didn't say in the state of Denmark, because Stockholm is, of course, in Sweden, close enough. And let me say that, just to be clear, so Alfred Nobel, in the latter part of the 19th century, invented dynamite. It's kind of a funny thing to think that somebody invented dynamite. About 100 years later, Jimmy J.J. Walker invented the phrase dynamite. And I want my listeners to be clear, Jimmy J.J. Walker is not the guy who put the money behind the Nobel Prize. We're talking about the actual inventor of the thing called dynamite, not the phrase dynamite. I want to be very clear. So he puts up zillions of dollars. He wants to help humanity. And you're telling me at some point, consciously and explicitly, the Nobel Prize committee change things. I mean, that's an extraordinary thing just to say on the radio, because most people would never know that had happened. And how is it that somebody has gained control of his money? This is why, folks, you should always give all your money away before you die, because somebody's going to use it to work against your wills. But so what happened to you when you discovered this? This is a big deal.
Yeah, so I decided that I would do my minuscule part to rectify, these misdeeds of the Swedish Royal Academy. Look, they're a monopoly, and just as monopolies are bad in business and in government, to have a monopoly over certain things, so too in science. There's no higher award in science, and in fact, in all of humanity, than the Nobel Prize. I challenge your listeners to think of one that comes close. And in this case, the Nobel Prize was basically rotten from its core, from the very beginning. The Nobel Prize in the early part of the 1900s was forbidden to go, almost by written rule, in some cases by written rule, to go to Jews. So that's why Albert Einstein.
Are you serious?
It was an unwritten rule. It said Albert Einstein may not win a Nobel Prize. Why is that?
Okay, now tell me why. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
So, yeah. So one of the rules that Alfred Nobel never specified was that if you won a Nobel Prize, you could nominate the winners of the Nobel Prize for the rest of your life. And so what happened in the early part of the 1900s? Where was the best physics being done? The most highly accomplished physics was being done in Austria and Germany. Well, what did Austria and Germany have going for them? Well, they were an Aryan state. And in fact, there was a chief of Aryan physics named Philipp Lenard, and he won one of the first Nobel Prizes in physics. And he was a rabid anti-Semite. He was known, as I said, for being Hitler's chief of physics within the entire state of Germany. Now, his influence went far and wide. And he said under no circumstances could Einstein win a Nobel Prize because Einstein and other theoretical physicists like Einstein practiced, quote, this is a direct quote, world bluffing Jewish physics. So for 15 years after inventing relativity, the most important discovery, some say by the most brilliant physicist who ever lived, they forbid it year after year. They would meet and they would have to go through these contortions. And Albert Einstein didn't win for 15 years after the invention of relativity. So, just astonishing.
So this book, in your book, Losing the Nobel Prize, you go into the anti-Semitism behind it.
Correct. I go into that. And nowadays, it's even more troubling. You know, Einstein waited for 15 years. There hasn't been a female to win the Nobel Prize in physics in 53 years. What is causing that?
I tell you, this is fascinating. Well, the older I get, the less I revere the things I revered as a kid. I mean, all these great institutions, you think someday I'm going to this, someday I'm going to that. And then you realize that all these things that you revered have either changed or degraded or they were never so good in the first place. I would rather win. That's another story. We'll be right back, folks, talking to the author of Losing the Nobel Prize, Brian Keating. Stick around.
I hide it to myself. And never talked about it, and did not go and shout it when you walked into the room.
Are you a timeshare owner that would like to get out of your timeshare the right way? Hi, I'm Karen, owner of Lone Star Transfer. Getting out of your timeshare is probably at the top of your to-do list for 2018. Now is the time to make the call to simplify your life. We have an excellent track record and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. So if you want to get rid of those high maintenance fees and annual bills for vacations you never take, call 844-284-4863 or visit us online at LoneStarTransfer.com. That's 844-284-4863. For over a decade, we have been working in timeshare owner advocacy to help those stuck in timeshares. Let us help you with a legal and ethical solution. Call us today for a private, no-obligation consultation. We will give you a solution that will get you out of your timeshare once and for all. Call 844-284-4863 or LoneStarTransfer.com. Satisfaction guaranteed. Are you a timeshare owner that would like to get out of your timeshare the right way? Hi, I'm Karen, owner of Lone Star Transfer. Getting out of your timeshare is probably at the top of your to-do list for 2018. Now is the time to make the call to simplify your life. We have an excellent track record and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. So if you want to get rid of those high maintenance fees and annual bills for vacations you never take, call 844-284-4863 or visit us online at LoneStarTransfer.com. That's 844-284-4863. For over a decade, we have been working in timeshare owner advocacy to help those stuck in timeshares. Let us help you with a legal and ethical solution. Call us today for a private, no-obligation consultation. We will give you a solution that will get you out of your timeshare once and for all. Call 844-284-4863 or LoneStarTransfer.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
You were young and your heart was an open book. You used to say, live and let live.
You know you did.
But if this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you they live and let die.
This is the Eric Metaxas Show, A Little Wings for you. We just have a few minutes left with Brian Keating, who's written this great new book called Losing the Nobel Prize. Brian, we've got to get you back here in studio when you come to New York. That's for another time because there's so much to talk about here. But listen, the Nobel Prize, it's funny to me because all kinds of people have won it. I half joked earlier about Obama winning the Nobel Peace Prize. I think the older I've gotten, the more I've seen how polluted these processes are. When you're a kid, you kind of think that there are mature, wonderful people. They're like God or Santa Claus and they do everything perfectly. And then you realize, no, it's dirty human beings with all kinds of ambitions and things. I mean, the Nobel Prize in literature for the first several years was always given to Swedish people. I don't know if it was, maybe it was Paul Lagerqvist who's the first one who got it, who I thought deserved it. But it's kind of like a strange thing. But you write about that in this book, as well as what happened to you.
Yeah, and it's not just the Nobel Prize in literature. Well, your listeners may know that it was canceled for the first time this year by order of the King of Sweden because of this sex scandal that's awfully and tawdry and destroying the credibility of the Nobel Prize in literature. As you said, it was given to Obama, which many people questioned after, you know, barely having enough time to measure the drapes in the Oval Office. And it was given to Yasser Arafat, a terrorist, you know, organization.
Let's not forget, it was given to Yasser Arafat. Ladies and gentlemen, do you hear that?
And now, you know, so now we're you know, everyone in the liberal media is all apoplectic about it going to Donald Trump. But what if he does accomplish it? I mean, I think that would be so delicious if they do. But I'm not holding my breath. Because, you know, actually, the Nobel Prize has all the hallmarks and of a religion, as I encounter in my book. And it's ironic for people that are so devoutly secular, devout militant atheists,
I think the Nobel Prize people now they're more anti-Trump than they were anti-Semitic, 100 years ago. it's ugly.
I would just love to see the contortions they have to go through. But it's humanity's highest prize. I mean, they talk about that and wanting to reform it. I couldn't have asked for better publicity. You know, I'm sorry that these people had to go through all these traumas of sexual harassment and abuse, et cetera. But nevertheless, it's revealed the rotten, you know, core of the Nobel Prize, which is like you. I mean, my kids' rooms, I have five kids. I'm blessed to have five kids with my wife, and I just recently welcomed twins into the world.
Whoa.
About a month ago.
How many of them?
So there's one pair of twins.
You just got two twins? We got three. Well,
oh, you have three,
yeah,
three
no,
twins?
I'm kidding.
Oh, you have triplets?
I'm kidding. Okay, so go ahead. Sorry, forgive me. Go ahead.
Yeah, so but on their wall, I didn't put pictures in my daughter's walls. I have pictures of Nobel Prize winning, you know, female physicists. Of course, there's only two of them in all of history.
Right.
So but I wanted them to have this, you know, inspiration. But then I thought back, well, what is so similar about the Nobel Prize to a religion that makes it so unwilling for people to give up on this prize
right.
and see it for what it is?
Right.
It's a naked emperor. And I think the problem is that people don't want that. They want to have this
right.
fairy tale, just like that Oscar winners or celebrities are superior to other people. And this is just idol worship for scientists in my case.
I'm so sorry I agree with you, but I'm just so glad that you've written this book. Brian Keating, we're out of time, but we've got to have you back in studio. Make an excuse to come to New York. The book, folks, is Losing the Nobel Prize by Brian Keating. Brian, thanks again.
Thank you, Eric. It's been a real honor for me.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.